program, you're about to hear Bob's Slapdown Funhouse with parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church, himself, genius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should pass no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Tonight, seekers, for your special delectation, we are going to have a wonderful little odyssey that only the obsessive talents of Jim Ratz could bring us. Yes, the man who did those fabulous 60s, which I played here on a couple of shows. He has done the same insane gonzo editing technique on a wealth of audio memes from our twisted radio culture. This work is called Radioland, a celebration of radio theater. And on the back of the CD, it says, Radioland is a multi-layered, massively edited montage of sound bites, comedy bits, and stars after stars after stars, presented as a tribute to radio theater and offered to help make reality less painful. Oh, bless you, Jim Ratz. For the next hour, seekers, you're not gonna be feeling that damn pain, because we've got Radioland. Enjoy.
You don't have to send this tape back. Just toss it away.
I'll see you off our tournament. What is the best number?
Number one.
Chapter one. He adored rock and roll radio. He idealized it all out of proportion. He romanticized it all out of proportion. To him, no matter what form of new technology was introduced, it was still an art form made up of 45 RPM vinyl singles that existed in mono and analog, and in 3 minutes could transport you to any emotional destination you could dream of. Now let's start this over. He was too romantic about rock and roll radio, as he was about everything else. He thrived on the downtown jam-packed clubs so crowded that the walls would sweat. But the magic of radio took hold while he was cruising in a convertible or lying in bed in the darkness, and that mysterious voice spoke to only him. To him, garage rock meant the last of the street poet pirates and the sexy women who loved them. Nah, this is too corny. Let me try and make it more profound. Chapter 1. He adored rock and roll radio. To him, it was the metaphor for the decay of contemporary culture. How hard it was to exist in a society desensitized by legal drugs, processed foods, television, lowest common denominator mediocrity, homogenized singers, homogenized guitar tones with pathetic excuses for melody and chord changes. No, this is too angry. Okay. Chapter 1. He was as tough and mysterious as his favorite medium, radio. And he had the perfect face for it. Behind that bandana and big nose was the liberating rebelliousness of Little Richard, the ruthless, merciless power and passion of Little Walter, and the heartbreaking, sweet pathos of Little Anthony. I love this. Rock and roll radio was his medium, and it always would be.
Chapter 1. Radio. R-A-D-I-O.
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service off at this college town. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, get something to eat here. And I went up and got me 2 hot dogs and a big orange drink. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all. And we kept on going through there. And pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says,
ticket, please.
Friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going. I did. Well, he says,
yeah, hey, come on, get inside, quick. The show just started.
Show? No, what does it cost?
Who cares? It'll make reality less painful.
Great balls of
fire. Come on, hurry up, get in.
Chair
for Mr. Smith. Hey, boys, come over here, quick. Come on, get inside. The show's about to start.
Oh, no, we're broke.
Yeah, the inflation, you know, it's terrible.
How much does it cost? Don't worry, boys, you're paid for it already. Hurry up, get inside. Oh, okay. Two more chairs, two more Smith.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. You're as welcome as can be.
It's a very thrilling sight here at the Municipal Auditorium. Tonight, the season opens with a gala charity performance of Puccini's La Bohème. The house lights dim as the maestro takes his place on the podium. I see Mrs. Lucille Carter, the charwoman of the cultural committee, coming down the aisle. All eyes are on her as she picks her seat.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is very hush-hush. Tonight, the secret word is radio. R-A-D-I-O.
Really?
You bet your life!
Well, this is going to be interesting. The man in the black shirt is Steve Martin. Never thought much of him.
To open the show, I always like to do one thing that is impossible. So right now, I'm going to suck this piano into my lungs.
Anybody here remember radio? Anybody? Anybody wrong?
Broadcasting from New York City, the Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny.
Oh, Jack, Jack!
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend.
Gangbusters!
You can see clearly, Braden, that the ever sharp chicken injector razor can get you into a lot of trouble.
Unfortunately, as you can see, I'm still editing.
The Lone Ranger.
Thank you, Master.
Wow.
Again tomorrow, same time, same station, to see if John will goose Sadie's cook.
Why, she's no fun. She fell right over.
That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for hire. It's up there in block letters, but down on the waterfront in San Francisco, good printing doesn't mean a thing. You get that on a death certificate. If you're trying to make a living down here, you're not going to have any standing in the community except in a police lineup. I rent boats and do anything else that goes with a weak will and a strong stomach. Well, it's not all bad. Once in a while, something happens that makes you feel good for a moment. Like remembering somebody you kissed a long time ago.
Then it all came rushing back to me like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist. It was pig night at the Omani Padme Sigma house. We had escaped from the crowd and stood trembling under the dwarf maples.
Oh, Nicky, I don't know what to say. This is the most beautiful ring I've ever seen.
Yeah, Nancy, it's really neat. It cost me $5,000.
Oh, Nicky, how can I ever repay you?
Well, gee whiz, Nancy. How about $500 down and a 36-month contract?
What?
Or you could marry me.
That's impossible, Nick. I can't marry you. I can't even tell you why. Maybe someday.
All right, Nancy. I understand. Sign here.
Oh, Nick. I'll never forgive you.
And I'll never forget you neither, Nancy.
Tomorrow you'll hear Linda say...
I couldn't sleep. I'm living in a dormitory, and I went to bed last night between 8 and 9.
What are you going to sleep with a crowd like that in your bed?
Daddy.
Yeah?
Who's this?
Who is this?
Yeah. He follows me home every night.
Gracie, what are you talking about? That's George Burns. You've been together for 15 years.
Oh, no wonder he gets so fresh.
All right, then.
This old-time radio program was originally aired live.
long before the advent of high fidelity. As a result, you may detect an occasional surface noise or volume drop due to transmission problems so common to old radio. We hope, however, that any variance in audio quality will not take away from your pleasure in listening to this.
The Ernie Kovac Show.
Stop those carefully rehearsed and written ad-libs and proceed with your task of announcing radio's answer to TV.
He's a ventriloquist on the radio. How do you know he's not moving his lips?
Who cares? Leave me alone.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Well, that's right. This is it's another story of today and days to come.
Well, it all began when Mildred Sanchez visited the office of attorney Marcel Menifee and was dismayed to find he would not defend her.
And when attorney Marcel Menifee suggested to Mildred Sanchez that she see Bernard Bennett, she flew into a rage and called Alma Everest, her best friend, and county recorder.
And together, they went to see Clifton Lindbergh and Irwin Kemp.
The meeting took place at Cliff House, the fashionable restaurant owned by Carl Ritter, Jesse Lee Poe, and Herbert Lindquist.
And it was at that time that Mildred Sanchez and her best friend, county recorder Alma Everest, explained the situation to the owners of Cliff House.
And Clifton Lindbergh and Irwin Kemp, who had already heard Mildred Sanchez's story, talked to Lou Kelso at another table.
And when George Adenauer, a waiter at Cliff House, overheard the conversation, he called Matt Dempsey, an underworld figure, and part owner of Tom Roxy, the light heavyweight champ of Sayville.
Meanwhile, Diane Ickes was raised with Mildred Sanchez, but was not on speaking terms with her because of a fight over Ralph Rouville, happened to be in popular Cliff House restaurant, and overheard George Adenauer's call to Nat Dempsey. She waited till George Adenauer got out of the phone booth and then placed a mysterious call to Ned Gelding in Orchard Beach, Arizona.
And then Clifton Lindbergh and Irwin Kemp decided that the dark mystery of Cliff House might be solved by looking at the guest book.
And bribing Rosetta Morf for the privilege of glancing through the guest book was easy.
Well, the guest book of popular Cliff House contained the following names. And that's where we'll pick up our story. When we begin this fascinating new series.
Only the names have been changed.
Yeah, well, be that as it may, do you think we could run this film now?
Sure. Watch this.
Before the action of the play begins, Nanette's husband, Raoul, has committed suicide on being unjustly accused of not being homosexual.
Okay, hold it, you guys.
Wait a minute, who are you?
Hi, this is Barry White.
No, not you. I mean the other guy.
Oh, that's me, Groucho Marx.
Not you, I mean all these other people.
This is Dick Clark.
I'm Mr. Red.
Bond. James Bond. Nick Danger.
My name's spelled K-D-O-E.
I'm Rob Reiner.
Robin Williams?
I'm Joe Brackney, and have I got a car deal for you?
This is Howard Stern.
This year is Lester Roadhog Moran.
I'm Misinformation.
There's Bing Crosby, you know.
Hi, it's Nancy Sinatra.
This is Paul Schaefer.
This is Keith Richards.
Tony Curtis.
Hello, radio listeners. We are the Hives.
This is Sean Penn.
A couple of nice-looking people here.
On Jimmy Shore.
Hi, everybody. This is Graham Nash.
That's James Cagney.
This is Keith Moon of the Who here.
I'm Terry Grant.
I'm Lionel Barrymore.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Ringo, and yours isn't.
I'm the general. What I say goes.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Jimmy Durant.
My name's Elvis.
This is Elvis Costello.
I'm a private dick on a case.
Good evening, fellow members of the Beat Generation.
Hi there, guys and dolls. Well, I guess you're wondering who this is. This is Bo Diddley, the mighty Bo Diddley.
This is 2,000 years talking to you.
Hi, ravers in Radio Land.
My name is Tyrone McCartney.
Buddy Rich Band.
My name's Pete Kelly.
This is your mother.
I'm the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, this is a big bopper speaking.
My name's Wap Caplet, Adrian Wap Caplet.
My name's Marlowe.
Hello, everybody. This is Albert Brooks.
Hi, we're Spinal Tap.
This is John speaking with his voice.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I am the censor from the Citizens Radio Committee. And I must okay all the material used on your program here.
You mean you plan to stop me every time I do something that you think is wrong?
Exactly. I'll just sound my little horn like this.
Somehow I can tell this is going to be one of those days.
You just go right ahead, Mr. Freeberg. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little pissed off because I'm supposed to go on at 11. It's 11:15. And, you know, you come in, they say, you're going to go on at 11. So at 10:30, you start drinking. Now it's 11:15. I'm out of my mind. At 11, I was a funny son of a b-.
I would like to say that during the live portion of this record, no laughter has been altered in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I have with me here a notary public who will swear to this fact. You're a notary public.
Yes.
And you swear to this fact.
Sure.
So, without wasting any more time, let's go now to the troubadour. Well, wait. Let's waste just a little more time. Fine. Let's go now to the troubadour. We join me in progress.
A man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl on his arm. The show begins, and the comedian comes out for his first show of the evening. The comedian says, a man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl on his arm. The show begins, and the comedian comes out for his second show of the evening. The show begins, and the comedian says, a man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl on his arm. Just then, a man in the front row stands up and says, I think I've heard this before. The comedian says, maybe you caught my first show of the evening. The man says, no, I just walked in here. The comedian says, well, it was a guy who looked just like you. Walked in with a beautiful girl on his arm. Could have been your twin brother. The man says, my twin brother is dead. The comedian says, what is this, awake? The man says, I don't have to stand for this. And he stands up and he walks outside. The comedian says, are you out there? I can hear you breathing. The man says, I'm holding my breath. The comedian says, well, I'm holding your wife. Just then the man says, that's not my wife. And he walks back into the nightclub with another beautiful girl on his arm. Who's that lady I'm seeing you with? The comedian says. The man says, this is my wife. That other lady is my dead twin brother's wife. You can take her if you want her. And the comedian says, not unless you say please. Just then, a man walks into a nightclub with a tattoo of a beautiful girl on his arm eating elbow macaroni. The comedian says, is that girl from Italy? The man says, no, just hungry. Just then, a man walks into the nightclub. He comes riding into the nightclub on a pony with a feather stuck in his head. What do you call that, the comedian asks. An entrance, the man says, but forget that. Just give me a beer and give my pony a jockey. The bartender says, I think that pony's had enough already. Well, make it a short jockey, the man says, and while you're at it, give that lady's lawyer some briefs. The lady stands up and says, I can defend myself, Your Honor. And the lawyer says, but I'll defend her honor, Your Honor. The judge says, well, honor offer. Make up your mind. The comic says, definitely honor. That's the best offer I've had all day. Well, take it or leave it, says the judge. Couldn't we just drop it, says the comedian? He says, well, you better drop leafless before you bomb. Well, the comedian says, I'm already bombing. He says, maybe it's your material. He says, you don't think it fits? He says, well, it could be let out a little. The comedian says, how much do you think it'll cost me? He says, it'll cost you an arm and a leg. The comic says, well, listen, can you put it on the cuff? The tailor says, I'll tell you what I'll do. Well, forget the leg and I'll just charge an arm. And a beautiful arm it is. Okay, says the comedian. The tailor cuts off the comedian's arm and gives him the suit. The tailor calls his girlfriend and asks her to go out on the town with him in order to celebrate. He calls on his girlfriend and gives her the beautiful arm as a gift. She wears it around her neck just like a stole. And they go out on the town. The man walks into the nightclub with a beautiful arm on his girl. The show begins and the one-armed comedian comes out for his last show of the evening. He does his act and the audience stands up and gives him a hand.
Good evening.
Hiya, friends. Ralph's Sportsport. Ralph's Sportsport Motors, the world's largest, new, used, and used automobile dealership. Ralph's Sportsport Motors here in the city of Emphysema. Let's just look at the extras on this fabulous car. Wire wheel spoke fenders, two-way sneeze through wind vents, star set mud guard, sponge coated, edible steering column, chrome fender dents, and factory air conditioned air from our fully factory equipped air conditioned factory. It's a beautiful car, friends, with doors to match. Birch's blacklist says this automobile was stolen, but for you, friends, a complete price, only $500. An easy money payment for the rest of the week, twice a week, and never on Sunday.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take it. I can't wait to get away from it all.
Well, okay, fine. Let's just take a look inside your beautiful new home. Come on in.
Thanks.
As you can see, this car has been fully equipped with a complete line of extras designed with your mind in mind. And here, of course, your own personal remote control picture-size color TV with matching brass knob. Just reach above the bar and press the button right there under the handy laminated imitation mason at Wild West Gun Rack with a look of real wood for the channel of your choice.
Ralph, can I try it?
Sure.
Sit down, Radio Land, and get ready.
And with the radio blast and go cruising just as fast as she can now.
Wonderful KOMA.
And now it's time for the news.
Radio West News at the Hour.
Now, briefly recrapping the news on Capitol Hero, G.O. Lee Peters.
Now, here's the sports scores as we have them. The Northwest Commercial, or rather, we'll start up at the top. In the Moose Jaw District League, St. Mary's 7, RCAF 3, St. Mary and RCAF, that's the 2-0 now games for St. Mary. The Moose Jaw Little League, the Cubs 13, the Pirates 6, the Colts 5, and the Red Legs no score. The Cardinals 15, the Dodgers 11, Athletics 15, Twins 2, and 11 rather. If you drop in at Patterson Motors used car lot in the middle of our 600 block west west on Main Street today or any other day, if you are in the market for a used car, you will have to agree that we have a real bunch of bargain buys on our lot. One thing, you don't need any pay to X-ray to find the value of a Goodwill car. Today we are putting the spotlight on a Corvair 1960 sedan with a 1960 radio, undercoated, miners, mirrors, a gold paint job, and after you drive it, you'll say, no fooling, it's a dandy. And now for Patterson Motors, may we say to you until tomorrow morning at this very same time, so long, and thanks for listening.
Don't we do it in the road here at Route 44 Motors here in the city of Wet Tomorrow.
I like those colors. Isn't that nice?
Nice. Can you get UHF?
No, I don't believe in flying saucers. A little blue halo around my head.
Can I get a little more orange in his face?
Sure.
As a day.
You always listen to radio.
In this part, our lives are ruined already. You still have a chance.
Why can't you be a genius? I'll tell you why. Because you're too busy listening to radio all the time. That's why.
I'm thrown to the finish.
Cause I am Mr. Ed.
I wish there was a knob on the TV so you could turn up the intelligence. They got one marked brightness, but it don't work, does it?
Just want to make fun of what I'm going to do next year.
Our next couple has been in a waiting room offstage, Groucho, so they don't know the secret word is radio.
Why don't y'all listen?
We are listening.
You don't have to look at pictures on the radio.
What you can't see can't scare you.
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
Now, Barney.
Practice yoga on the ground.
Or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
I'm still editing.
You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You'll find we don't care at all, just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
I'm still editing.
Oh, yeah. Say we're smoking reefer on the radio while we're really eating cookies and you never know. We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
Yeah.
R-A-D-I-O. Not television. R-A-D-I-O.
Wearing wonders.
R-A-D-I-O.
More vacuum cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O.
You get the picture?
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Marconi.
Radio. When you can't find a friend, you still got the radio. The radio. Oh, listen to the radio. The radio. Oh, listen to the radio.
In selection, the Whispering East All Animal Whistling Chorus joins Maestro Opal Sweeney in a rousing salute to reality.
Hello.
I have a message for you.
Yeah?
A very sad message.
Right.
Nick Danger, Third Eye.
I want to order a pizza to go and no anchovies.
No anchovies? You've got the wrong man. I spell my name, Danger.
What?
It's no good. They're tapping the lines.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, Arthur. This is your mother. Do you remember me?
Hi. Mom, hi. I was just going to call you. Is that a funny
Arthur,
thing? You know that I had my hand
Arthur,
on the phone to
call... Arthur, you were supposed to call me last Friday.
Mother, darling, I just didn't have a second and
you
I could cut my throat.
Second.
I was so busy.
Arthur, I sat by that phone all day Friday.
It was just work. And
all
darling,
day Friday night.
I kept thinking, I got to call Mom.
And all day
dear,
Saturday.
Oh, listen, believe me.
All day
me,
Sunday. I, and your father said to me, Phyllis, eat something. You'll faint.
Darling,
I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son called.
Mom.
He never called.
Mother, I was sending up Vanguard. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
Okay, honey.
You know,
look,
Arthur,
no,
I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers, you know? And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count off
down
to pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have
you
me on the phone.
You know how I worry.
Well, I do. That's the point.
I read
that's
in the paper how you keep losing them.
Mother! I don't lose them.
Well, I nearly went out of my mind.
Okay, honey,
I
now
thought, what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right.
Write all me right, a letter. Right, is that
it.
So hard?
Okay.
I'm your mother.
All right, mother, look, darling, please,
I'll send
honey,
you
Mom,
stamp.
Dear,
it's
please,
so
don't. Just tell
letter.
Me how you
That's
are,
so
Mom.
Hard.
Tell me how you are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. I really am. What's wrong?
Nothing. You know what it is, honey.
Yeah.
It's the same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's my nerves.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor, and he told me right out, he said, listen, Mrs. White, who are you fooling?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You are a very nervous, very high-strung woman.
Yeah, well, God knows that's true,
And you cannot stand the slightest aggravation.
Well, yeah, sure,
well,
yeah.
I said, doctor, I know that. Yeah. I know that, too.
Of course.
I said,
but
you see, doctor, I have this son. He is, you know, it's the truth. The boy is not lying. He is. He's very busy. You see, doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Honey, listen, Mom,
well,
dear,
Arthur,
I want you to tell...
Well, Arthur, when I said that to him, that man turned pale.
Right, dear, Mom.
He said, Mrs. White, Mom. I have been a doctor for 35 years, and I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
Right, Mom, dear,
That's
listen,
That's just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know, honey,
And that man is a doctor.
Mom, Mother, please, dear. Will you just tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well, I may be in the hospital for a while, so,
The hospital?
Yes, the hospital.
Well, but what are they going to do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why didn't you let me know? All you had to do was drop...
I thought you were going to aggravate yourself. I wouldn't have brought it up.
How can I not aggravate myself over...
It's a little tiny... It's nothing. Forget it. How's your hangnail?
All right. Mother,
yes.
Please, just don't worry.
Arthur, what does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Nothing, actually. I don't know. I just said the first thing that came into my head. It was a
Arthur,
mistake.
Arthur, listen to me. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. I should have realized,
you know,
and I didn't.
What's the use of talking,
it was a mistake.
No,
I'm sorry. No,
you're very young.
Well, I...
Someday, Arthur,
Mom.
You'll get married.
Mom.
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom.
And, honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I'm doing my best now. You called me on the telephone. I tried to explain to you.
Don't hit me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I bothered you. And look, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Oh, Mother, it's true. What do you think? I feel crummy.
Arthur, honey, why don't you call me, sweetheart? Look, you know, Arthur, I know that I nag you, you know. I mean, listen, I'm a nagging mother. What are you going to do? No, I'm kidding. Honey, you know, you're my baby. And Arthur, you're the only baby I've got. And honey, no matter how old you get, when you get to be 80 years old, you're going to be my baby, you know? And when you don't call me, sweetheart, I can't help it. I worry. So is that so hard to pick up a phone and call your mommy? Please, baby, please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
You say it, and then
I promise.
Well, then you make your mommy so happy.
If mommy's happy, then he's happy. Okay, mommy.
And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And remember, Dad, I love you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nani, nuni, nani, nuni.
Ask me why globalism produces tribalism. Ask me why life-simplifying technology makes life so complicated. Ask me why the more we learn, the less we know. Ask me why the highest seats of learning produce cabinet ministers with the nose of the lowest earthworm. Ask me why children turn their parents into children.
Ladies and gentlemen, this break in our motion picture is made out of respect for the TV fans in our audience who are accustomed to constant interruptions in their programs for messages from sponsors.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Quiet, please. Recording.
Come on over and try my crispy. No, you see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. That real crusty.
Don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Steinberg's department store has just received a shipment of large-size bathing suits. Ladies, now you can buy a bathing suit for a ridiculous figure.
Okay, fine.
That's it.
Okay, Bill, here we go. This is Romantic Minute. This is take one. Cue the effects and cue the music, all right?
Right.
Here we go. Take one, go.
And now, a Romantic Minute. The place, a sidewalk cafe. She, a woman of the 90s. Liberated, yet...
Bill, this is a 60-second spot, okay? We need it faster. Just a bit faster. The read is perfect. Just faster.
We're going to start over again.
Yeah, start over again. Stop the music. Here we go. Romantic minute. Minute being the key word here. Take two.
Right. And now, a romantic... You've got to wait for my cue.
Sorry, I got... Okay, we need it faster, though.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry. Here we go.
Cue, go.
And now, a romantic minute.
Sorry,
you've got to wait till I finish the word minute.
I'm sorry, here we go. Okay, romantic minute, go. Come on, Bill, don't lose it on me.
The whole life is like this now. We're on jet planes, we're flying here, we're flying there, we got no
Bill,
time
Bill.
For this. We're trying to give
Bill.
People at least 60 bloody seconds
shut up,
of romance.
Bill, shut up for a sec, okay?
Romantic, no.
Here we go.
Nautical, a rubber sealer in paste form, packaged in a squeeze-type applicator, which can be used to caulk, seal, or waterproof seams. It sets in just a matter of hours. For the outboarder with limited cockspit... cockspit? Here we go. Oh, God. Geez, I had a good beginning there. All right, here we go. Wait till I get my navel passage cleared out. New and... This is it now. New and Nautical, a rubber sealer in paste form and packaged in a squeeze-type applicator... may be used to caulk, seal, or waterproof seams. It sets in just a matter of hours. For the outboarder with limited cockpit space. Well, let's take a brief 5 minutes here.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Right now, listen to this.
Buddy, wouldn't you agree that the WFMT announcer's lot is not a happy one?
Yes, I would. In addition to uttering the sibilant, mellifluous cadences of such cacophonous sounds as Hans Schmidt Isserstedt, Karl Schuricht, Nicanor Sabaleta, Hans Klapperts-Busch, and the Hammer Clavier Sonata, he must thread his vocal way through the complications of L'Orchestre de la Suisse Romande, the Concertgebouw Orchestra of Amsterdam, the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, and other complicated nomenclature.
The announcer's lot is not a happy one. In addition to uttering the sibilant, mellifluous cadences of such cacophonous names as Hans Schmidt Isserstedt, Karl Schuricht, Nicanor Sabaleta, Hans Klapperts-Busch, and Hammer's Flair Sonata, He must thread his vocal way through the complications of l'orchestra di la Sotti, di concert du casorcio, di Paris with fluidity, and verve outweighs and ease, naturalness and friendliness of delivery, when that omnipresent microphone.
But wait a minute, it must by no means be assumed that the ability to pronounce l'orchestra de la Société des Concerts du Conservatoire de Paris with fluidity and verve outweighs an ease, naturalness, and friendliness of delivery when at that omnipresent microphone.
Let us reiterate the warm, simple tone of the voice is desirable.
I would agree to that, and I'd like to add as a postscript that
such is the warm and wolf
of an announcer's existence.
Announcer's existence.
In diesem heiligen
Abend. In diesem heiligen Abend.
You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here? You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
Ah, I feel good.
Take that into my lawyers. I say take that into my lawyers. Honorable Charles H. Hungerdunger. Care of Hungerdunger, 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 and McCormick. Semicolon.
How do you spell semicolon?
All right, make it a comma. Honorable Charles H. Hungerdunger. Hungerdunger, Hungerdunger, McCormick. Gentlemen, question mark.
Do you want that in the letter?
No, put that in an envelope. Now then, in re yours of the 5th inst, yours to hand and beg to rep, brackets, that we have gone over the ground carefully and we seem to believe, i.e., to wit, e.g., in lieu, that despite all our precautionary measures which have been involved, we seem to believe that it is hardly necessary for us to proceed unless we receive an ipso facto that is not negligible at this moment, quotes, unquotes, and quotes. Hoping this finds you, I beg to remain as of June 9th, cordially yours, regard. That's all, Jamison.
It's very moving, sir. Would you mind if I change just one tiny aspect of it?
Which one?
The words.
All right, send it that way and some the body will follow. Now, I want you to make 2 carbon copies of that letter and throw the original away. And when you get through with that, throw the carbon copies away. Just send a stamp, airmail, that's all. You may go, Jamison.
Well, we kept on moving through there, and pretty soon everybody got where it was that they was a-going, because they parted and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these 2 banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had tucked and drawed white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen 5 or 6 convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, friend, what is it that they're a-hollering for? Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, buddy, have a drink. Well, I says, I believe I will have another big orange.
All right. I turn the program back over to numero uno. And, let's...
No.
Can't be replaced. I don't have to read the news. You hear it on the radio. I see it on the stage.
And don't you forget, children, in radio land. It makes no difference who you are. God is on top of the world.
But it helps to ride when the lights turn low. I'll get on board the radio and take a ride out to Texas on his train.
The country music station plays soft,
but there's nothing, really nothing to turn off.
All right. Okay, so what time is it, Tony?
You got 7:38.
Okay.
That sir brings us down to our comedy spot on the show. Old Hog thought he'd tell a joke right about here. Seems like this traveling salesman was traveling down the road one night and his car broke down. And he went up to the farmer's house and knocked on the door. And the farmer comes to the door and the traveling salesman asked him, said, "My car's broke down. Can I stay all night with you?" The farmer said, "You're gonna have to sleep with my son." And the traveling salesman said, "Excuse me, farmer, I'm in the wrong joke." All right. Mighty fine. All right.
All right, everybody, into the time machine.
No, you don't understand how radio works. Now, this is my flashback. All I have to do to return us to the present is fade my voice out like this and cue the organist.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Of men. Shadow knows.
Awfully sorry. That's wrong. The answer is
the Lone Ranger.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is
Godzilla.
People ask me all the time, "Charlie Van Dyke, why do certain records become hits?" In every case, the answer is the same. People heard it on the radio.
Mr. Freeberg, what's a radio program?
Like what we're doing here with actors and live musicians and sound effects men and guest stars.
Oh, you mean like a television program when the picture tube blows out.
Gentlemen, have you ever swung along a beautiful country road with a gleam of sweet life in the air, groovy with gold in your pocket, riding a wild set of wheels at an easy pace?
Are you there?
Everything is smooth and cool. There's some traffic, but not too much traffic. But it's all right, you see, because you've got everything covered. Understand? And you're driving along in the feel of the sun, and the radio's swinging a beautiful, crazy, wild tune. And you feel so good, you're right in there tight.
And you feel it.
The screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't tell me I'm only there. This can't face
only the lonely. Tell me the way I feel tonight.
There's a moment. There ain't one magazine that I ain't read.
out of Mexico. This is the border radio. This is the border radio.
Are you ready to rock and roll? And now from England, have mercy, you gonna love them to death. Spinal Tap.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
these
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
But pretty soon, this boy that had said, ticket, please, he come up to me and he says, friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket. And I says, well, all right. And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day, what it was that there's a-doing down there.
Well, how would you explain it?
Well, the quarterback puts his left end on one side of the field, his right end on the other side, and kicks off.
Well, I don't play him. That would kill anybody.
Here comes the music.
Here's the lonesome sound of a radio somewhere fading in and out, come and gone.
Just me and my radio world.
Good time.
Now, Mouseketeers, here's one thing we want you always to remember.
When you run down the street on fire, people will move out of your way.
Say, kids, what time is it?
Now it's time to say goodbye.
Hey,
I'm going to split. Hey, we're going to get in the wind. Later.
You are
company.
L-I-C.
I'll see you.
K-K-Y.
Why?
Why? Because you're too busy listening to radio all the time. That's why.
Your imagination.
Your what?
Look, you could do things on radio, see?
Well, you said radio, and that's the secret way, so you just made $100.
That you couldn't possibly do on television. My sound effects man and I will give you a demonstration right now.
Okay.
Okay, people, now, when I give you the cue, I want the 500-foot mountain of whipped cream to be shoved into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. All right. Cue them out. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will appear overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry. Cue the Air Force. Will be dropped into the whipped cream. Cue the maraschino cherry. To the cheering of 25,000 extras. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Thanks for coming into our theater of the mind. Oh, and as you leave, don't forget your personal belongings, especially that most personal of all, your imagination.
Ah, well, there you go, Seekers. Radio Land. A Rabbit Appreciation by Jim Ratz. Oh, Jim Ratz has become one of my short-duration personal saviors. Oh, what he has managed to do with his obsession and his editing skills puts me to shame. And you Seekers out there will know that I've only been there a handful of times. Ooh, that was telling. Oh, if you'd like more information on Jim Ratz and all of his gonzo projects, I bet it could be found at runawayexpress.com. Runaway Express is the name of the band he has with his wife Sally Ratz and some like-minded mutants. And speaking of Runaway Express, when Jim Ratz sent me this copy of Radioland along with another new improved version of those fabulous 60s, he also slipped in the most beautifully packaged CD I've ever seen, Howling at the Moon. The latest efforts of Runaway Express. I've got it handy here, and just for kicks, why don't we close out Bob Slacktime Funhouse with something uncharacteristically sweet for me? Runaway Express singing about the stories they could tell. Good night, Seekers.
I'm talking to myself again, wondering if this traveling is good. Is there something else a-doing we'd be doing if we could? But oh, the stories we could tell. And if it all blows up and goes to hell, I wish that we could sit back on a bed in some motel and sing about the stories we could tell. Remember that guitar in a museum in Tennessee? The nameplate on the glass, it brought back 20 melodies. And the scratches on its face told of all the times he fell, singing all the stories he could tell. And oh, the stories it could tell. And I bet you it still rings like a bell. I wish that we could sit upon a bed in some motel and listen to the stories it could tell. breaking down your every night, singing for a living beneath the brightly colored lights. And if somebody asks you why you ride the carousel, you did it for the stories you could tell. No, the stories we could tell. And before we have to say our last farewell, I wish that we could sit back on a bed in some motel and listen to the stories we could tell. And I can still see us sitting on a bed in some motel, singing all the stories we could tell.
I'm called a storyteller so much, people think I'm a storyteller. And I don't think of myself as a storyteller. I think of myself as a sailor, a truck driver, and a wannabe cowboy. And I also do a little bit of plunking on a guitar.